Father, we thank you for this opportunity again to sit at your feet, to learn your word, to be taught of you, Lord, to be instructed in righteousness, in the way of life more perfectly, so that we can bring forth the fruit that will glorify your name in the earth. As we gather at your feet under the covenant of our safe fathers, we receive with thanksgiving unprecedented open heavens, the visions of our God and His glory, the word of God to come expressly to meet us at our point of need, so that we can be built up and to obtain our inheritance among the saints. Father, let your hand be stretched forth to wrought miracles, signs, and wonders, to save, to heal, to deliver, to transform our lives, to confirm your word with signs and wonders following. Thank you for the outpouring of your blessing, and thank you for the move of your spirit that caused everything in our lives that needs reformation to be reformed, and that caused us to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God with no void at all. Blessed be your name. Help us, Lord, to receive your word with meekness, that it may profit us and save our soul, causing our will to be more submitted to the will of God in humility, our mind to be further enlightened by the revelation knowledge of the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our will to be more tempered by the fruit of the Spirit, so that we be more conformed to the glorious image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. I pray for myself as I come to minister the word, that Lord, you be with my heart, you be with my mouth. You will grant me fresh grace and unction to minister as your oracle, to speak that which you have me speak, to be concise and precise, not speaking anything unnecessary, redeeming the time, so that this time, O God, of the ministration of the word will be an enriching encounter with our God and with His glory through the word, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you as you open our hearts to understand and to receive these things, not as words of men, but as words of God, so that it might work effectually in us and so transform us. We bless your name. We worship you. Lord, we are praying, O God, that this word will also be refreshing to our parents in the Lord. They will see the travail of their souls over our lives, and they'll be satisfied. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to our Bible and let's open to Proverbs chapter 30. We read verses 24 to 28. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24 to 28. Okay. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The hands are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The cornies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. Verse 28. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in king's palace. The title of my message this evening is Little but Exceedingly Wise. Can I hear you say little but exceedingly wise? One more time.
Amen. The Bible tells us here that there are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. And he started to talk to us about the ants, about the conies, about the locust, and about the spider. Now, do you think God wants to talk about animals? Do you think it's animals that God wants to talk about? He wants to talk about us. Amen. Let's read the scripture before 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9. He said, it is written in the book of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Then he asked a question. Does God care for the oxen? Is it the oxen that God is talking about? Let's read the next verse. Said it all together for our sake. Or said it all together for our sake. Yes, for our sake, no doubt. This is written. That he that plowed should plow in hope. That he that threshed in hope should partake of his hope. What am I trying to say? God is not talking about oxen there. He's talking about men. It's not about hands that he wants to talk about. He's talking about us. He's trying to use natural things to communicate spiritual things to us. Now, four things that are little. Of course, you know the ant is little. The conies. They are small birds. Some people call them badgers. Very small birds. Very little. The locust. You know the locust is little. The spider too is little. But the Bible comments something about them. It said they are exceedingly wise. So it's the exceeding wisdom that God is trying to get across to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We already know that wisdom is the principal thing. But God wants to use little things to communicate to us that we need to be exceedingly wise. Especially in this time when the ages are coming together, when the purposes of God is about to culminate. Now, it started with the ant. He said the ant is little but is exceedingly wise. What is wise about the ant? He said because he prepares his meat in the summer. The ants understand times and season and knows what Israel ought to do. If he does not get his food in summer, he's going to die in winter. So, God is not talking about food. He's talking about understanding the times and the season. Knowing what is right to do. In time. That's what makes the ant exceedingly wise. Let's read our scripture. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 15, this is an encouragement, an exhortation to call us to be exceedingly wise. Yes, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Yes. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Amen. Now, we have had so many things for our fathers. But one thing that is crucial to know is that we are in a season when we are about to inherit the glory.
We are in a season when the Lord Jesus Christ is about to come in us in perfection and fullness of Christ. And the most crucial thing in this time to do is to watch and pray so that we can be ready. We must understand the will of God. Amen. So, the reason why the ants are exceeding wise is because they operate like the sons of Issachar. And God wants us to operate like that. We don't have time to do everything. We only have time to do what matters. To inherit the glory of God. We don't have time to do everything. We don't have time to chase after every ambition. That's why Paul said, one thing I do, I forget the things that are past, and I press for the mark. There's only one thing that is important now, pressing for that mark. Is that clear? Pressing for perfection, pressing for fullness of stature, immaturity, pressing for spiritual growth. Amen. John chapter 9, verse 4. Still in the light of time. This is our Lord Jesus Christ speaking. What does he say? He said, I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. Amen. Whatever we should do now, we must do it. Because a time will come where we can't do it. We won't have time to do all we want to do. We only have time to do what God wants. Am I communicating something? We must be exceedingly wise. It's time to examine our lives and trim the things that actually don't matter. And the way you can do that is to understand the times. Let me use another scripture to establish that before I move to the corners. Isaiah 55, 6 to 7. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. That means there's going to come a time when he can't be found. There's going to be a time when you will be far. But for those that seek him when he is near, do you understand what I mean? They will have entered. So there will never come a time when he's far. For those that has found him when he can be found, there will never come a time when he cannot be found. What are we talking about? Times and seasons. Be conscious of time. Especially be conscious of the present time. You only need to look at the old church to understand that the old church doesn't understand the time we are in. That was what happened in the time of our Lord Jesus Christ too. The whole, do you understand me? Leadership of Israel did not understand their times. And they missed their time of visitation. For a few folk that listened to John the Baptist, that listened to the prophetic, understood, and they followed the Lord, and they became the vanguard of the new move. Amen. Something is about to break out in the church. There's an explosion about to take place. You must key him into doing what you should do to be part of it. Let me go on to the corners. He said, the corners are little, but they are exceedingly wise. Why? They build their houses
in the rocks.
Now, it's a small bird that you can take with your hand and squeeze life out of it. But you know why? Because his house is in the rocks, you can never get at him. He has built his house in the cleft of the rock. You can't get at him, and you can't get at his seed. You can't get at his eggs. So he, his seed, and generation are preserved because he built his house in the rocks. We know what that means, literally. Jesus said, he that hears my word and do it, I will compare him to a man that builds his house on the rocks. There's no time to build anyhow now. Do you understand? There's no time to build anyhow. You must build on the rock if you will be secured, if your seed will be secured, if your posterity will be secured. That is exceeding great wisdom. We know who the rock is. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, I think verse 18, he said, thou art Peter. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail. Why is the gates of hell prevailing against some churches today? If the Lord Jesus says the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church, why is the gate of hell prevailing against some saints today? And it looks like the only person that has the power on the earth is Satan. Because most are not building on the rock. The rock of the revelation of the Son of God. That's the only thing that the case of hell doesn't have an answer for. Stop building on the stand. Stop it. You know what? When you are not doing anything with what you are hearing, when you are not making effort to work out and to practice the things you are doing, you are by default building on a wrong platform. The cornice are a little folk, yet they are exceedingly wise. Let's build on the rock. Let's build on the rock. The flood can overcome the house on the rock. The wind can overcome the house on the rock. And the rain, the elements, the beggarly elements of this world cannot. Let's stop building on the sand. Let's be exceedingly wise. Let's take every word we are hearing and commit ourselves to be a practitioner. You may not practice it perfectly, but you must begin. God looks at the heart. If your heart is perfect, he will count you as exceedingly wise. Amen. Let's talk about the locusts. The locusts are little, but exceedingly wise. Why? You say, they go forth all of them by bands. I'm going to read a translation that will help you to understand. But if you have a New King James Version, do we have it? Okay. New King James. Somebody say, they advance in ranks. They all advance in ranks. They keep rank. They don't break rank. They operate in unity. Unity is exceeding great wisdom. When a host of locusts gets upon a city or a nation, invasion, do you understand what I mean? The first thing you see darkness, and then all suddenly all the green just disappeared. You know why? Each one of them is doing his own part. That's all. In rank. That's the army that God is looking for. That's the army that the world cannot withstand. A army that keeps rank. A people that operate in unity. That's why the heart of Jesus is that we should be one. Amen. This message, Javi. Locust, leaders, leaderless insects. They don't even have leaders. They don't have a king. There's nobody that says, you do this, you do that. Each one of them says, okay, we are keeping rank. What is my part to do? I will do it. You do your part, you do my part. Everybody does the part, and we overcome. Little. You know, you can take one and destroy it. But you know what? They go out in bands, in rank. So you can't... I hope you understand what God is saying. We are talking about exceeding great wisdom. So unity, keeping rank, is great wisdom. Is what will make us exceedingly wise. As long as you are on earth, there will be some people that will be ahead of you. There will be some people that will be your colleagues. And there will be some people that will be behind you. You have to keep rank. You have to recognize those that are ahead of you. Recognize your colleagues. Recognize those that are behind you. And keep rank with everybody. To those that you submit, you submit. We are taught that. We read that in our prayers. Abi, you submit in reverence. Those are above you. Your colleagues, you esteem them. And those under you, you submit to them even in meekness. That is keeping rank. That is what God is looking for. In your life, in my life, in the church, in the army that is going to raise. You know, he talks about Joel's army. That's the mark of Joel's army. Let's read Joel. Joel's army is the army that is about to arise now with the spirit without measure. Amen. Amen. You are getting it. Joel chapter 2, verse 7. Let's read verse 7 to 10. And let's see what God has prepared for us. As we take our place in his army, as we keep rank. You know, we have a leader. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. And he has appointed overseers over us, makes us even far better than locusts. Do you understand? So if they can accomplish great things without a leader at their level, God is saying we can operate exceeding great and mighty things. Joel chapter 2 verse 7, we read to 10. This is describing Joel's army. That's talking about me and you when we take our place. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone in his own ways, they shall not break rank. Somebody say they shall not break rank. Neither shall one trust another. They shall walk everyone in his path. And when they fall on the sword, they shall not be wounded. Invincible. 10. The earth will quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Verse 11. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his camp. For his camp is very great. He's strong that executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great, very terrible. Who can abide? Who can abide it? Amen. God is calling us to be exceedingly wise. I'm not saying anything that is new. I'm trying to tell us that the things that we are hearing is exceeding great wisdom. Let's put it to work. Amen. Psalm 113. That's talking about people that keep rank, that esteem one another accordingly in the fear of God, submit honor. What did he say? Psalm 113, verse 1 to the end. 133, sorry. I know we are very familiar with this, but what is he saying? Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the birds, even Aaron's birds, that went down to the skirt of his garment. Yes? It is like the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. There is a precious ointment upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the spirit of our measure we are looking for. But for it to be downloaded, there must be an army that keeps rank. Otherwise, the precious ointment we waste. So, do you understand? That's why we must dwell in unity. We must keep rank. Under our spiritual fathers. That's the Aaron. And it goes to every part of the scriptures. And the Bible says, there God has commanded blessing. There's a dimension of blessing we have not seen. That the world has never seen. A dimension of blessing that all nations and all generations will call us blessed. Because they are blessed by what is flowing out of us. That precious ointment. Amen. Well, number four, so that I can quickly, Pastor has already given me times and seasons. So let me operate within my times and seasons. Amen. The spider, just before I go that, it was keeping of rank and unity that brought the first outpouring of the Spirit. They were in one accord, in one place, and on that day. So it's the same thing that will download this next outpouring. Amen. Okay. The spider are little but exceedingly wise. Why? They take hold with their hands. That means they walk diligently with their hands. So you find it in king's palaces. Amen. There is something about diligence with whatever God has given it to you to do. Do you understand what I mean? That will take you out of the ordinary and put you in the realm of super excellence. Proverbs, I think 22:29. People, we've got to be diligent with whatever God has given to us to do. You might say, don't be slothful, but be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. That's this spirit without measure. It takes diligence. It takes these principles that we know. Principles of perfection. It takes diligence to apply them and get result. If you are not getting result, you are not applying diligence. He that diligently seeketh good will procure what? Favor. Yes. Second Peter. Let's read Second Peter. Diligence will bring you before kings in things natural and in things spiritual. Amen. It will bring you before the King of Kings. You have an audience, and they will stretch the golden altar scepter towards you. Okay. Second Peter chapter 2. We just read verse 4, verse 5. Maybe we read to 10. Now, just talking about our spiritual pursuit now, our destiny. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Is there now? Okay. Now, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, by this we can be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. This tells us that God has already given us exceeding great and precious promises, and that we can escape all the corruption that is in this world. We can partake of divine nature. We can be as gods in this world. That's where we are going. Now, after it, he said, beside this, giving all diligence. Somebody say all diligence. Not some diligence. All diligence. Add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge. Yes? Are they there? Okay. Add to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness. Let's continue. To godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. Yes? For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go on. For he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Verse 10. Wherefore, the rather brethren, giving diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. We must give diligence to practicing these things, this instruction we are behind, so that we can make this calling and election sure. The reason why it is difficult for them to believe that we have what it is, because they have not seen the manifestation. If we give diligence to it and the manifestation come, do you understand me? Amen. Then they will know. And they are going to know. Because there is a set of people that is going to give diligence. Diligence, all diligence, is exceeding great wisdom. It will bring us before kings. Okay. Let me quickly go on now. I want to talk about a church that was little, but exceedingly wise. That's the church that we are passing after. Philadelphia Church. Revelation chapter 3 verse 7. We read to 13. We need actually verse 8, but we need to read all. That's the church that our parents in the Lord are patterning us after. We are a Philadelphia Church. You got to understand it and walk in the light of it. Let's read. The angel of the church in Philadelphia. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write. These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the keys of David. What he opens. Give me King James, please. Okay. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write. These things said he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the keys of David, he that openeth and no man shut it. Shut it and no man open it. Verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, but have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Amen. Now, you have little strength, but you are doing something exceedingly wise. You are keeping my word. Amen. And you are not denying my name.
We know his name. His name is love.
You are walking at bringing forth fruit of love. Look at what he said. This is the only church in Revelation that has commendation. You know, there are seven churches there. This is the only church that has full commendation. Nothing was said against.
Amen.
Because it was exceedingly wise. Only one thing is needful.
The word.
Keep it. Sit at his feet to hear it. And use the word, amen, to be faithful to his name and bring out his love.
Amen. We now know that love is the greatest. Praise the Lord. Why must we be exceedingly wise? Let's quickly read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 to 18.
Somebody say, happy. Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. Why? The merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. That means there is no profit that silver and gold can give you that can beat what wisdom will give you. It will give you, it will profit you here and they want to come. She is more precious than rubies. All that we can desire are not to be compared to her. Verse 16. Length of this is in her right hand. That means she will live long. In her left hand is riches and honor. That means you will not only live long, you will live longer with riches and honor to fulfill the purpose of God on the earth. What brings it? Wisdom. Yes, our ways are ways of pleasantness, and all our paths are peace. You have peace always by all means. Yes, verse, she's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Happy is everyone that retain her. Chapter 4, verse 5 to 9, Proverbs. Someone say, get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Verse 6. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve you. Love her, and she shall keep you. Verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. I can't hear you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. With all you're getting, get understanding. Next. Exalt her. She will promote you. She will bring you to honor when thou dost embrace her. Verse 9. She will give to thy head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver unto you. We are waiting for that crown of glory. Amen. Amen. Quickly. One, wisdom is the principal thing. And it will empower us to build our lives according to the pattern. Somewhere, Paul said, as a master wise builder, I've laid the foundation. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10 said, let every man take heed how he builds their own. How are you building your life? In Psalm 127 verse 1, he said, unless the Lord build a house, they that build it in vain. That means there are some houses that can be built and they are built in vain. Do you remember that they built the Tower of Babel? But it was in vain because God came and threw it down. Are you building something that God will come and look and throw down? Or when it's tested with fire? It is wisdom that will teach you to build aright.
Amen. Amen. Yes, to inherit the glory, we have talked about that a lot.
Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35. The wise inherit glory, but shame is the promotion of fools. We must be exceedingly wise so that we can inherit this glory that we are waiting for. Proverbs 3:35. Okay, we talked about that when we were talking about inherit the glory, so let me not talk too much about that. For our exaltation to honor, it was wisdom that took Joseph up. It was wisdom that took Daniel up. For those that are exceedingly wise, there's only one way, up. Maybe you don't know. Until God set his people on high, above all the nations of the earth, he will not be satisfied. But it is wisdom. It is wisdom that is taking that mountain to the top. Amen. For our stability in these times, we are in a chaotic time. I didn't finish reading that Philadelphia church thing. He said, okay, let's go back to it. He said, the time of tribulation is coming upon the earth. But because you have kept my word and have not denied my name, I will keep you from the hour of temptation that is coming upon the earth. Do you get it? Because thou hast kept my word of patience, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation which is coming upon the world to try them that are upon. It's already here. And it's going to increase in intensity. And it is wisdom that will keep us, that will give us stability. Isaiah chapter 33, I believe, verse 6. I want to quickly move so that I can get to how to be exceedingly wise. I must operate within the time and season. And wisdom and knowledge. Let me hear you. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and the strength of thy salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. So wisdom will stabilize us and keep us in these times. Amen. Amen. Why we must be exceedingly wise? To wage a good warfare. We talked about the locusts. They always overcame wherever they come because they kept rank. Amen. The Bible says, with wise counsel, make your war. Why? Because you will win. And one of the central counsel, wise counsel to making war is to operate in unity and to keep rank. Amen. I said for our preservation, that's number 6, and defense. When we are reading Proverbs chapter 4, verse 6, it said, if you honor her, if you exalt her, she will keep you. She will preserve you. Let's read Ecclesiastes 7:12 so that I can just wrap that up and move. Ecclesiastes 7:12. It says, wisdom is a defense. Money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. It will preserve your life. What money cannot buy, wisdom will give it to you on the platter of honor. And it will deliver you. Amen. Finally, when we are exceedingly wise, God will use us to confirm the mighty on the earth. I'm going to use a scripture to explain it. You know, we said they are little, but they are exceedingly wise. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 29. Say, for see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. Let's go ahead. And the base things of the world and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised as God chosen, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. There is something that God is building in us, so that if we yield to it, He will be able to use us to confound the mighty on the earth. In spite of our seemly weakness or our seemingly little strength. And that's this wisdom. Somewhere Jesus said, Luke chapter 10 verse 21, He said He rejoiced because God has not given this wisdom to the wise and the prudent of this world, but He has given it to babes. They look at you as babes. But you know what? Out of the mouth of babes and suckling has God ordained strength. Why? So that He can steal this avenger and stop His enemy. Through this exceeding great wisdom, as we give ourselves to it, God is going to break, rule, and disciple this nation and make them the footstool of Jesus. Because an army is going to be released on the earth that they can't withstand. Yet they will look feeble. Yet they can't be stopped. Because there's a spiritual power that is flowing through their wisdom. Amen. How to be exceedingly wise. I'm about to round up now. And I must. Number one, by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. It looks simple, but in Him are hid all treasure of wisdom and knowledge. You are not going to get this kind of wisdom outside Him. It's not available. Colossians chapter 2 verse 3, Abi. So, most of us here have already done that. So we are already in place. We are already positioned. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 23 to 24. Let's read that. He said, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greek foolishness. Verse 24. But unto them that are called, that's me and you, both Jews and Greek, Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. Amen. Okay, number two, we already know in Christ. The second thing is by prayer. How did Solomon get wisdom? He asked for it. God said, ask what I shall do for you. But his father has been telling him, get wisdom. Get understanding. You know, he still said it in Proverbs. He said, my father taught me. He said, get wisdom. Get understanding. It's the principal thing. When you have opportunity to get anything, get it. So when God asked him that question, he said, I'm a small man, a little lad. I don't know how to lead these people out and feeble folk. He said, but give me a wise heart. And God said, because you have asked for wisdom, you have not asked for riches, you have not asked for the life of your enemy, I will give you wisdom, I will give you riches, I will give you honor, I will give you everything that you'll be greater than all the kings of the earth. That means wisdom will give you everything. But you got it by what? By prayer. James chapter 1 verse 5 tells us that too. Is there any man that lacks wisdom? Wisdom. Ask. Let him ask in faith, not in doubting. For a double-minded man is unstable in his ways. Let not that man think he will receive anything from the soul. Ask in faith. Amen. But most especially, like our parents have taught us, the dimension of wisdom we are talking about, comes by praying in the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 6, he said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, yet not the wisdom of this world, that if the princes of this world have known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Amen. And our fathers have broken it down. When you are speaking in tongues, amen, you are speaking the wisdom of God in the mystery. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when you do it backed up with humility, when you start reading your Bible, the Spirit of God will start doing what? Opening up the word. And start imparting the wisdom of ages, the hidden wisdom that is ordained for our glory, that is hidden in that Christ that is in us, which is the hope of glory. Okay, let's move ahead. By number three, by humility of heart. And by fearing the Lord, by humility of heart, by fearing the Lord. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 2 has told us, with the lowly is wisdom. So why is there price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom? See, he doesn't have a heart for it. It's only a humble heart that God can give wisdom to. That God will give wisdom to. Then he went on, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Verse 10. The fear of the Lord. Can I hear you say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Wisdom starts with fearing God. Time will not give me. When you get home, go and read Job chapter 28. Chapter 28. It started from verse 1 up to verse 27, trying to talk about how men have sought for wisdom all over the world. They check it in the heaven, they check it beneath the heart, they check it on the sea, they look for it in the vein of the earth, they look for it everywhere. They ask the bird, they say, I've not seen it. They have the sea, they say, I've never seen it. Then, in verse 28, he said, and God spoke to man. Job chapter 28, verse 28. When you get to go and read the whole Job 28, but let's read the fact. And unto man he said, that's God, to tell us how to get this my wisdom. But unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord is, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil. So the wisdom of God begins with the fear of God. You cannot get the wisdom of God beyond the fear of God that you exercise. That's why the first pillar, in the pillar of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, which contains humility and honesty, as our parents have told us. Okay, number four, by right association. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Just one scripture will run. Praise the Lord. It's time for you to reevaluate your association. Anybody that is not adding wisdom to you, do you understand what I mean? Now, you love them. You relate with them. But you examine your intimacy with them. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He that walketh with the wise. So find wise men. How do you know a wise man? Anybody that fears the Lord. That's what you are looking for. Anybody that trembles at the word of God, that's the man you should keep company with. Hello? Anybody that tries to explain obedience to the word of God away, flee from that person. He will destroy you. That's a fool. A fool will say, yes, it's the word of God, but he's not going to do anything about it. Don't be a companion of fool. Walk with the wise. Reevaluate your association now. Number five, by laying of hands of the fathers and their prayers. I think Pastor Kunle touched it when he was teaching. Or is it you? No, it's Pastor Dewey on Sunday when he was teaching about Joshua and Moses. Deuteronomy 34:9. Said, Joshua the son of Nun was full of wisdom. For Moses, has laid his hand upon him. But he has fulfilled all the ones we have been saying before he got there. So don't go and bring your head, please. This is my head. He didn't lay hand on him suddenly. Amen. He has already fulfilled the fear of God. He has fulfilled humility. He has fulfilled prayers. He has fulfilled walking with the wise. Yeah, do you understand? So don't go and just take that one and say, ah, enjoy bowling me loading cacone. And by the prayers of the fathers. Check, that was what Apostle Paul was doing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, 17. That prayer that we have to pray for ourselves daily. He was praying that for the Ephesians church without ceasing. He wants them to be wise. That was the church he wrote to that. Said, be wise now and understand the will of God. Say, I pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So that the eyes of your understanding will be opened. So that you will know the hope of your calling in him. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in your sins. And the exceeding greatness of his resurrection power available to you. That's the prayer of Paul. That was what brought wisdom. The dimension of wisdom that we've seen in Ephesians could be possible because somebody was praying wisdom for them. But alas, they didn't continue in that wisdom. By the time we got to Revelation, they left their first love. You won't leave your first love. Amen. Amen. Because that wisdom came through prayer. But they weren't doing the first work again. Okay. You remember in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, I'm talking about getting wisdom by the prayers of the fathers. There was one servant of Elisha. They came out and there was an army against them. You remember that? And he said, alas, my master, what shall we do? We are done for today. Can you see the whole army around? And Elisha said, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Oh, Baba, and Elisha prayed a prayer for him. Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Amen. That's wisdom. And he opened his eyes and he saw. He saw chariots of fire and horses round about Elisha between them and the army. And he was at rest. Now he saw the wisdom of God on how God was going to deliver them. And Elijah said, Lord, blind their eyes. I know what the angels went. They went around and started touching the eyes of all the soldiers and closing it. So, the prayers of the fathers brings wisdom to us. Open our eyes. Laying of hands of the fathers. Okay? Verse 6, by the studying of the scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. I'm about to round up. Chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. We are going to verse 17. It said, and that from a child... Can you read together? Can you read together with me? And that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. What has he known? What has he known? Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. What will make you wise unto salvation? Amen. The Holy Scriptures makes us wise. Amen. That's why God told his king, you must give him a copy, you must read every day. Because kings rule by wisdom. And where is he going to get it? And you are a king. And you are going to rule. You are going to reign. You are going to get the wisdom from here. Amen. Verse 16. All scripture is profitable, is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. Amen. All scripture. When you start studying the scripture, it will start making you wise unto this full salvation that is in God. And it will take you from baby of God to child of God to young man of God unto man. Full stature man. In God, thoroughly furnished for every good work. Finally, by practicing the word, obeying the word of instruction. We have learned that so many times. Say, instruction is thy life. Abi. You see, when they give you an instruction, behind that instruction is a wealth of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. That if they try to sit down and teach you all the, you won't have to, in fact, there's no time to tell you. Because then if they put it precept upon precept upon precept upon precept, do you understand me? Before they get to the instruction, you will have grown old. So they just give you an instruction. Do it this way. Like the instruction of morning watch, fourth watch, prayer. There's something that happens in the fourth watch when you pray that can't happen anywhere else. Because that is a space of time. A sluice of time that everything is at rest to give you the fullest liberty to commune with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you get it? Instruction. And there are many instructions like that. Amen. So, the simple way to get wisdom is just get the instruction and keep it. Now, as you start keeping it, you may be learning the wisdom along the way. But you'll be reaping the fruit. Amen. 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 So, in conclusion, let's be exceedingly wise. In spite of what may look like our littleness, our weakness, our feebleness, we can still be exceedingly wise and present ourselves to God. That God can have a set of people that he can use to fulfill his purpose on the earth. Let's stand up. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see you.
I want to see you.
Open the eyes, open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
I want to see you.
Your glory,
pour out
your power.
To make serious commitment to this wisdom of God. It's time to ask God to help me to understand times and seasons and what I ought to do as part of the Israel of God. To build our house on the rock, doing the word of God, keeping the instructions, to keep rank and operate in unity. To give diligence to all that God has called us unto, so that we can make our calling and election sure. To keep His word and not deny His name. So that we can be an exceeding wise people that God can use, a mighty army that nothing shall be able to withstand. God can use to break or disciple the nations. Let's place our hands on our heart, right and up. Shall we say, Father, we confess our sins. So we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word that has come to me tonight, encouraging me to be exceedingly wise. Help me to take it to this word. Father, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, so that I will increasingly understand the times and seasons, know what I ought to do, and to do it. Oh, keeping your word, keeping rank, walking in unity, being diligent to make my calling and election sure. Heavenly Father, help me to operate in humility of heart, to give myself to the fear of God, walking with the wise and studying the scriptures under the covenant of our safe fathers, as you have instructed us, so that I may be made wise unto the fullness of this salvation that you have called us unto, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ, so that we can inherit this glory that is imminent in this time. Help me, Lord, to forsake all foolishness and to get wisdom with all my getting, to get understanding. In Jesus' name, let's pray the Spirit. Jekla Rabasata, Roka Labasanta Po, Jeka Dakali, Roba Kapakapa, Broma Kapali, Roba Kapaya, Broma Kataya, Zude Kapaya. Bruka sata kata 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 raba baba ba je klerebo makate rabaka pala bako teke rabaka paka 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 palia raba baba baba makata kalika pa rabaka paliboye raba baba ba rabaka pala bado deye deba Ruba baba bako pala bakoria balabaya raba baba baba baya rabado deye rabalaba balabaya bramakote rabagaba rabakapali bamo bale baya bramakoria bale baya bramakoria rabado de do bado deye de raba baba baba bale bado baya bramakote klere busoto likataka liko rabaka. In Jesus' name. Shepherd.